We're here with Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District. So, Paul, you think you're going to take back the House in 2018?
I think there's a good chance. I think that, it's made difficult by redistricting that was done last time around and the time before that, 10 years prior to that. But still, there are just a number of people who are very concerned about the direction in which the country is moving. And I think that as President Trump's numbers continue to fade, as more and more unfavorable response is recorded through the polling, and where some people are concerned, they're frightened about the economy, they're frightened about our international relations and our involvement around the world, I think that grows the possibility of us taking back the House. And in the generic polling, the party, the Democratic Party, is doing quite strong when it comes to the House of Representatives and the choice people would make in a generic sense. Of course, it boils down to the trust factor and the personalities involved at that very local level. But I think that the numbers right now are very strong that that could happen.
Okay, so let me ask you about debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be raised if,
right,
you know, our
bills are paid.
Yeah, bills are paid. But Trump does seem to have said, I'm not doing anything until the wall is going
to
be built.
Yeah, this is, I think, to hinge all of this activity on a wall that doesn't make us safer, that Mexico was supposed to pay for, and now we're asking the American taxpayer to dig into their pocket and pay for a wall. It's unacceptable. And the president has ground in his heels here. He wants that wall. If there should ever be a time where there's strong working relationship, where there's connectivity with Mexico, it's now. We have an epidemic with a drug crisis out there. And the two nations are both hurting from that element. And the only way or the best way to resolve that is through open discussion between the two countries and not a harshness that's developing with a wall that, again, doesn't guarantee our safety. There are ways to surpass that wall and bypass that wall and to spend the billions on this wall when we were told Mexico would pay for it, and then to hold up the debt ceiling outcome. We need to pay our bills. Fundamental. American families pay their bills. They understand it. To put our credit rating at risk, to perhaps inspire or cause a government shutdown, tremendous consequences that can flow from that activity. And all because his own pride in an agenda is governing that outcome rather than the financial economic consequences that should be first and foremost in our minds.
Well, Paul Tonko, do you think that it's likely that at this stage of the game, with Trump's basically not knowing what he's doing with the Congress, that Democrats and Republicans may frankly end up getting together a little bit more?
One would hope, but I watched this in the Affordable Care Act. I saw how people were, really sharing their opinions strongly. The polling was very strong. And still with that element, there were people uncertain or unwilling when it came to that break from Trump, from the president. They were still loyal to him. And I think that, I don't know if it's the fear factor of retribution or what have you, but I would say if you get into that web, it will be very difficult to get out. And you need to do what's best for your district. And doing what's best for your district is to make certain that we pay our bills by raising that debt ceiling, and a clean debt ceiling, no bells, no whistles attached to it. And to say that the wall will be a priority, it's fundamentally flawed. Mexico was supposed to pay for it. And if it's the American, if it's the president's dream to have the Americans build a wall along the Mexican border, then let him pay for it. I don't think the taxpayer should.
Okay. Well, I got a couple of minutes. I want to talk to you about the way in which climate change is going. I know that you are Mr. Environmental. You always have been. Trump says we're out of Paris. What are the implications?
I think the implication is that, look, there's still a number of forward-thinking, progressive minds when it comes to the environment. to the innovation economy, to the research that's required to develop products that clean our air, make our drinking water safer. That agenda will continue via the states. But it was a powerful statement to have this nation united, and a more powerful statement to bring the world together at a common table to talk about the risks of climate change. So basically, to start, the removing of us from the Paris Accord is a huge scar across the image of this country. It denies in many ways the research opportunities and the partnerships that we could have with these other nations. And basically, somebody's going to carry forth with this aggressive agenda in a national context. They will get the research monies. They will get the jobs that are produced by research developing the prototypes that will become the product line to make our air cleaner and to make our water safer. So this walking away is yet another bold expression of denouncement of science. You know, what is it about science that the president doesn't understand? 97% of the scientist community said, we have climate change going on. Something needs to be done to reduce the carbon pollution in our country, around the world. He rejects that. He rejected. I didn't have glasses, so I watched the eclipse, the solar eclipse. And I was amazed when I saw him on TV staring into the sun. After all these experts, all these scientists have said, do not do that. So it's like a total rejection of science at a time when we ought to respect science and allow it to lead us into new, non-reviewed areas where we can discover cures for various illnesses and product lines that will enhance the quality of life. And where these territories have not been explored, delve into that with a base of science on your side.
So do you see it happening? I mean, do you see our going back in to the Paris Accord?
Well, to begin with, getting out of the Paris Accord is a lengthy process.
Right.
But his recognition, his announcement to the world that we're doing this was a negative factor. Thank goodness the process to get out of it is quite involved. But to withdraw us, to start that process to withdraw us at a time when over 100 nations have ratified the agreement is a gross embarrassment. And at the same time, it's the way that some nations are going to grow jobs, exponentially grow jobs. The number one job growth in this country right now by occupation is wind technician. So we're going to miss out on a bonanza of jobs. So I think it was the wrong thing to do, yet another failed effort by the administration that seems to be growing into this series of broken promises.
Thanks, my good friend, Paul Tunko.
My pleasure.
Democrat in New York's 20th district in office since 2009. And when we come back the next time, I want to talk to you a little bit about the generals.